Hello, everybody. This is Anthony Bionis from Mission Star Podcast, and we have another episode of the Conover. This edition is going to be all about Comic-Con. And what better crew?
What? I thought this was about Pokemon Go. Come on, guys. We got to leave.
Yeah. No.
And what better crew to talk about Comic-Con is the Rolling 20s podcast crew. Joining me tonight is Jeremy.
Hey.
Jesse.
Hola.
And none other than the brony himself.
That would be Jesse.
Hey, wait. Yeah. I'm the brony.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my bad. Steve.
You got our archetype screwed up.
It's been a long day, so bear with me. But
Steve's
the
silent one. I'm the crazy one. Jesse's the handsome brooding one.
He's not doing much for his Japa-Mexican reputation with that whole lot.
So you guys went and ventured in the land of Comic-Con this year. This time around,
probably specify San Diego Comic-Con, because yes. New York Comic-Con hasn't happened yet. And right now you got a bunch of people going, hey, what the hell?
For those who don't know, yeah, San Diego Comic-Con is specifically what I'm talking about. So you guys went, you guys ventured what it was for this year. So tell me, what I think the first thing I should ask is, like, how was Comic-Con, San Diego Comic-Con, how was this from this year than last year?
You guys want to answer first? Because everybody knows I can talk.
Yeah. Well, for me, this was my first year actually having pretty much every day except for preview night. So that was cool. You know, actually being able to go in and look around and see the difference in the days. I've done Sunday and Thursday before.
No, you had Saturday.
Did I have Saturday?
The first year you went, you had a Saturday badge. I know that because I bought it. Remember, okay. I surprised you guys with a one day?
That's right. Yeah, I had the 2 days the first time and then only one day the next time. Yeah. But, yeah, it's actually surprisingly different depending on the day that you go in there. It's a little bit more, a little bit less crowded. Saturday,
like
all the cosplay comes out.
I like how you say it's different. You make it sound like, okay, Thursday is taco day, then Friday pizza day. You know, Saturday is Sadie Hawkins.
Interesting. So what were some of the things that I mean, like, for San Diego Comic-Con, like, there are various amounts of, like, you know, what you want to get or what you want to check out. For you, like,
that's funny. That's an understatement right there, man. There's
it would take less time to tell you what isn't there.
Well, I guess, you know, what wasn't there this year was any kind of Walking Dead fan experience or anything like that.
Yeah, there was.
Where?
It was part of a cutout plane. You got to sit in it and have a couple walkers at your back pretending they're crawling over trying to eat you.
Oh, and plus they had the they had the boat there, too.
Yeah, the Abigail out back, Fear of the Walking Dead. Yeah.
Yeah, forgot about that.
So Steve ate his words like a walker.
I did.
Oh, wow.
They didn't have anything in Petco this year.
Really?
The Walking Dead Escape, their obstacle course, did not occur this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
anywhere. I tried to look it up online. I can't find them doing it anywhere.
That's interesting. So was that lot still used, that one behind Petco Park, or was that empty this year?
Lot behind Petco Park.
I don't think
Park.
Any of us ventured out that far.
No, we
really seem like there was much going on out there.
The usual fan experience in that parking lot was occurring, although I think they're trying to tamp that down, not because nobody had the room or the budget for the third parties, but because right now there's this controversial idea where the San Diego Chargers would like to build a stadium and part of that property.
Yeah. Totally, yeah,
so I think some people are trying to keep their plans flexible in case they actually succeed in this weird initiative they have.
Gotcha. And this is a city that chose Comic-Con over the San Diego Chargers stadium.
Thus far, yeah, but now there's this controversial initiative that the Chargers themselves have got enough signatures to put on the city ballot. So now it's up to taxpayers to vote on it.
That's interesting. Okay. So I think the one thing that I think the one thing I have to ask, because, you know, it is a game that everybody and their mom is playing right now. How many people did you see playing Pokemon Go at Comic-Con?
I don't know. I couldn't get my phone out of my face.
You don't actually see anybody playing anything simply because even those of us that played Pokemon Go at the same time were multitasking. You know, just about everybody was doing three different things while walking.
Yeah, although when you got on the buses, then that was fair game.
Oh, yeah. Shuttles were completely like yells about everybody. I found a polo wag, quick, pull over. I'm driving.
I never heard anybody ask for them to pull over, but I heard several times people were just like,
there was
no,
one guy
we're
who
going
was upset
away.
About, there was one guy who was upset about missing that Magnemite. He wanted to get off and walk backwards for the sake of, man.
Wow, that's great. Okay. Because I know that that's... I figured it'd be pretty big at San Diego Comic-Con.
No, it was kind of messed up where we were because we stayed at the Hilton Harbor Island out there by the airport. Mm-hmm. And there was a couple stops nearby, but you had to leave the hotel to get to them. But no, what was in big contention was the fact that the front awning, like the entrance area of the hotel, was a Pokemon Go gym. And you could count by the second how many times that thing changed hands over the course of one evening.
Yeah,
I broke it one morning.
Well, not to mention the fact that even in our own room, we've got people on different teams. So all of a sudden it's like, oh, your Pokemon's in there. Ah!
Yeah, damn. That's crazy. That's awesome at the same time, too. Okay. One of the things I think was different this year, and we're talking about it like before the podcast started, is that you guys were at Hall H this year. And that, for those who don't know, Hall H is probably the most famous panel room in San Diego Comic Con as of recently.
It's probably across the country at this point.
Yeah.
That's the one thing everybody wants to get into. And the weird part is, as much effort as we put as a group trying to get into the hall, mm-hmm. only two of us went inside.
Wait, yeah. Really? Wait, the other two or three got denied?
No.
Nobody got denied. My wife and my daughter were in the line, and both of them decided they'd rather sleep in than get in with the wristbands that they had. So they suddenly found out that getting in after that was way too difficult. And Steve can tell us there when we got the wristbands, but...
Well, you know, it was like 11 o'clock when we got back to the hotel, and yeah, I slept in.
I see. You chose...
Yeah, meanwhile, Jesse, who didn't get a wristband, watches me come out of the shower at like 6 in the morning, and he just says, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to make sure I use this thing.
Have fun.
Yeah, I missed it by half an hour. I got up at 9, and I think about, 9:30, they started letting everybody in.
I think so, but I wasn't really checking a watch just because I was already – I was part of a Hall H line team, so I already knew where my spot was, and I wasn't worried about getting in. I just made sure to get there early enough, sat down, read a book for a little while, but I – oh, yeah, I had to have my wife bring me the book because it was the one thing I forgot that morning, so yeah.
Gotcha. Wow. That's crazy. in Hall H, you saw many things over there. I think that the big announcements and trailers that they were – some were shown and some were released online and some were not.
Well, Saturday is the marquee day for Hall H because that's when all the movie companies bring out their biggest and brightest trailers and guests, and then there's also some very important, rare panels going on, just of gatherings of casts of different films and TV shows through the ages. So everybody is doing their best to bring like their biggest multimedia presentations for everybody to see, and occasionally they even give out stuff.
Gotcha.
You know, I was there with Brandon, and about 20 minutes before the first panel started, the first panel is Warner Brothers, I just kind of sat there, and as I was going through my bag of snacks and everything, I was staring at my backpack thinking that there was something missing. You know, that my backpack is full, but I feel like there's something missing. There's my hoodie, there's my beef jerky, there's like four bottles of water. What? That's right. And then I leaned over to Brandon and said, dude, do we have room for anything if they start giving stuff out? And he looks at me. He's confused for about half a second before he looks at his own bag. He just says, shit.
Oh, man. Because I know as there was a clip, I know you posted on Instagram, which you guys should follow for all our cosplay and convention adventures, where they were giving out wands during the Doctor Strange panel.
Oh, no, it wasn't
Doctor Strange. That was Harry Potter.
Yeah, it was the Harry Potter section of Warner Brothers. They did it for Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Oh, gotcha.
Eddie Redmayne, the star of the movie, decided that the lights in Hall H were too low for his liking, so he tried to cast a spell to raise them, Luminous Maximus, I think, and he didn't have enough power, so he suddenly said that there are people handing out wands in the aisles, and sure enough, there's everyone dressed up in the, like this 1920s, 1930s style clothes, handing out these resin wands to everybody in the hall, and he wants to do a group Luminous Maximus to try and raise the stupid lights in the room.
That's great. That's awesome. My question to you guys is, adding specifically Jeremy and Jesse, Jeremy and Jesse in the Hall H, what was your favorite, like, trailer or footage you saw at the panel?
Trailer or footage, crap. That's kind of two different things for me, because the best, like, preview footage I saw was Guardians of the Galaxy. I saw a lot from the – it felt like 5-6 minutes they wove together their different scenes plus parts of a trailer that they showed to us, as well as the reveal of who Kurt Russell is in the movie. Mm. That was all just amazing. But the best use of multimedia had to be when they were introducing the Doctor Strange section of the panel. Because Kevin Feige was on stage with Chad Hardwick from The Nerdist, who was moderating the whole thing. And Feige was speaking, but all of a sudden he got interrupted by this thrumming sound coming through the speakers, and all the screens in the in Hall H turned blue, like this bright blue. Then they brought back the curtains a little bit, and they expanded the main screen. They started to pour down dry ice smoke from the ceiling, so everybody just kind of looked at each other and just went, okay, either something really cool is happening or they're gassing us, like, right here and now. So as all this is going on, the music starts picking up, you hear drum beats, and then they start projecting, like, magic sigils from, you know, Doctor Strange and all this stuff. And not only does it hit the screens, but it's passing through the smoke, so you got this weird 3D effect of some of it's hanging in the air in the front, you know, third of Hall H.
Sick.
And then the music keeps building. All of a sudden, there's the seal of Ashanti on the main screen. There's this boom, and the stage is flooded in light. And, you know, before anybody noticed, Benedict Cumberbatch in regular clothes is just standing in the middle of the stage by himself with a microphone. And the presentation got everyone so hyped that twice he tried to start talking, but he got flustered because he was blushing because of all the cheering in the room. He just couldn't start talking.
That's great. That's awesome, man. that's pretty sick. Okay. So after your adventures in Hall H and your walk back to the hotel room to get somewhat of some sleep in for the next day.
Screw you. What the hell do you think I do during Comic-Con? I left Hall H and went straight to a Hollywood Babylon podcast. Man.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
You know, I got to see a strip show right before it.
Wait, what?
Oh, yeah. I had to put that in context because I'm thinking, did I break away from my wife for a little bit without telling her? No.
Was it another invite to, like it was last year?
Stupidest thing, dude. We were outside the comedy club where Babylon's supposed to be taped that night. And I had my back to the building, and everybody was talking around me. We were having a decent enough time, but I look across the street up in the window, and I see somebody a girl with a towel on her head just kind of sitting there staring out. I'm like, huh, that's interesting. Then I look in the window next to her, and I realize I'm looking at another girl with a towel on her head, but I start staring rather intensely because I'm thinking, that bathing suit looks really interesting. No, that's not a bathing suit. Why does that look weird? Because that's a pair of panties and nothing else. And I look at Steve, and I just said, Steve, am I seeing this correctly? And he looks up. He squints. Is she wearing what I think? Yeah, that's just a pair of panties in there. Yeah.
Well, the other girl was wearing a Viking helmet.
Yeah.
It wasn't a towel. And she's out just kind of staring out at everybody, and she's just kind of waving and kind of having a good time. And we're looking over at the other window going, does she know?
Yeah,
and then she kind of turns around and walks to the left and ends up walking behind the other girl looking out and like waving at everybody. I'm like, okay, she knows.
And to put it in context, the two of us, as we're talking about this, more and more people in the line are turning around, staring up at the window. And I'm looking between the two windows, and I remember saying, do you think that's the same room? Or okay, she crossed over. That is the same room.
Wow, that's...
Then a third girl ended up showing up. Then they started swapping out clothes and putting on, I think they were getting ready for cosplay or something, but
they were testing out cape material. It's a whole story.
And then finally they ended up taping up on the window in on these little pieces of paper, you know, hungry, please feed us, and their room 26. number, and everybody's just like, oh,
that's interesting.
Yeah, okay, you had a question somewhere in the middle of all this.
Yes, I did, and I got lambasted by stripping.
Well, I told Jesse to stop stripping in the middle of a podcast, but he just won't listen to me.
Goddamn, put your clothes back on.
I'd get comfortable.
So you went from Hall Edge into the Babylon. I was there last year and I had a lot of fun, but this year, how was it compared to last year?
What, Hall H or Babylon?
Babylon.
Oh, Babylon is still cool, man. The show doesn't change terribly, but because the material is always new, you always get a new show each time. Mm-hmm. But they had it in the American Comedy Company instead of the House of Blues this year. So it was a much more intimate venue. Yeah. They unfortunately forced you to buy at least two drinks, either alcoholic or non-minimum. You know, frankly, I spent all day in Hall H and I didn't have a solid lunch or dinner, so I needed the food that they were offering.
Gotcha.
And honestly, the drinks weren't too bad. They were expensive, but they weren't too bad.
But that was a total of about a 16-hour day where I just did nothing but sit down and listen to people talk, like, almost all day, with the exception of the 90 minutes of watching the lady, you know, decide whether or not clothes were really appropriate in front of a window.
Take it, four fingers.
So, my question is, did the show start on time? Because I remember last year, like, it was, like, delayed for a while because of audio issues.
It was only late by about 20 minutes. They started relatively on time.
Oh, okay. That's cool. That's awesome.
But by the time we got back to the hotel, even after the shuttle ride, it was only, like, midnight. So that told me they started pretty well on time.
Yeah.
Did anything strange happen on the way back after you guys went to Babylon? Like,
oh, not a thing, man. The police presence in San Diego during Comic-Con is huge.
Yeah, I mean, you have to duck through crowds and everybody going into the different clubs and whatnot, but yeah, it's...
Yeah, and that was the one thing we actually did see because, you know, this year we didn't get out at 2 in the goddamn morning, was that even at 11:30 midnight, just about every night spot in the area was open and hopping. You know, most of the bars and pubs are still running full of people, and this is the last full night of Comic-Con when this occurs, like Saturday night, so everyone is trying to get their party on before they got to hop a plane tomorrow.
Mm. Yeah.
I could see that. Man, from my experience, yeah, it was the nightlife there at in that area for San Diego Comic-Con is ridiculous.
Oh, it's the best convention nightlife there is, even though they don't hold any particular dances at the convention center, just because you got so many options as to what you want to do. You want to go out and get a late meal? You can do that. You want to go out and grab a beer with a bunch of people? You can do that. You want to go to a separately ticketed party that somehow is Comic-Con related that someone else is putting on? You can totally do that. You know, the only thing you can't do is actually go to a strip club, but apparently the hotels and the people around there will facilitate the whole thing, so who cares?
Yep.
Although they did have advertisements for Deja Vu and whatnot there, so yeah. I'm assuming actually you could go to a strip club.
I just want to know if somebody actually tried to feed those people in the Andes, man.
Yeah. The world would never know. Okay, that's cool. That's awesome. Let me step back a little bit. In terms of what other things you guys managed to kind of check out or discover, what were some of the other things you found at San Diego Comic-Con?
I think Steve and Jesse are better qualified to answer that because I feel like I've crawled a lot of this place.
Yeah.
Well, of my itinerary that I scheduled for, I managed to go through maybe like three panels. Two of them I fell asleep in.
Oh,
Jeremy knows about that one.
That was probably the weirdest thing is the very start of Comic-Con. The first panel we go to is Peter David, mm-hmm. who is one of my favorite comic book writers. The guy is smart. He writes very personable stuff, very relatable stuff, noir stuff, too. And I know Jesse is a bit zapped, but in the midst of the panel, I'm listening to David tell a story, and then next to me, I hear this very soft...
Wow.
And I wanted to hit him. I wanted to hit you. I wanted to poke you. I wanted to do anything, but I was afraid it would just get louder.
Wow, that's hilarious. Did the one post in the panel notice, or was he...
I don't think so. If he did, he would have ignored it. You know, David is a very lively person, and he's very opinionated. You listen to his panel, you pretty much get the deal that he does what he does.
Okay, cool.
You know, the guy's written Star Trek novels. Actually, he told a story where it seems like he and the writers who worked with him on one of the particular novels are very likely responsible for the first name of Sulu in the movies.
Oh, sick. Wow, that's awesome. Holy crap. So out of curiosity, Steve, what was the other panel you slept in?
I was actually up in the hotel room asleep, so I wasn't disturbing the panel, but
the other panel I slept through was right after what was the next panel afterward was the G. Willow Wilson.
Yeah. The creator of Miss Marvel, the creator of Kamala Khan.
And I really wanted to stay up for that, but man, exhaustion from driving down there plus a massive headache.
Now, G. Willow Wilson is a fascinating individual. She was like this, she was an atheist white woman in Colorado. And somewhere around 17, she went monotheistic and decided that Muslim was a religion that she wanted to follow. So she became a fluent speaker of Arabic and went to Egypt to become a news correspondent.
Oh, wow.
You know, a white Muslim woman working in the news companies in Egypt. And she was there during the Arab Spring and the ousting of the former president, Hosni Mubarak. She was there during some of the most tumultuous periods in recent memory in that country.
That's crazy. But that's pretty
And
awesome.
She's still alive. I mean, geez.
How old is she, dare I ask?
I didn't look, but she has one child. If I had to guess by looking at her, I wouldn't think she's any older than, like, 30, maybe 32. Oh,
wow, that is nuts.
I don't think Mubarak was forced out all that recently. I mean, it wasn't, like, 17 when she went over there, so...
No, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, Mubarak was forced out, I think, about 5-6 years ago.
Yeah. Oh,
that's cool.
Yeah, I'd definitely say... early 30s, maybe even a little bit younger.
No, but she's lived a full life already, man, and she's still going.
Wow, that's cool.
She's heavily involved in comic books. And
Well, not just that. She debuted a chapter of a new prose novel she and a couple other people are writing. She read it to us at the end of the panel, so.
Wow, that's really, really awesome. What was the third panel that... that the said person did not sleep in?
That would be the Killing Joke panel, and the reason why I wasn't able to...
Oh, shit, you were there for that panel?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah, that's where he was instead of the Hall H line with the rest of us.
Oh, fuck. Okay, so, all right. In gruesome detail, tell me your experience at that panel.
Well, they had to kind of postpone everything. They had to postpone airing it because of the R-rated nature of the film, so they had to kind of do a panel before the movie till around 10 o'clock. Mm-hmm. And we got to listen to anyone and everyone else involved, all the voice actors were there, although I could have sworn Tara Strong was blonde earlier in the day. She was a shortcut redhead now. Yeah, she was short-haired redhead.
Yeah, she was apparently cosplaying as... Harley, yeah, earlier that day, I believe. I saw a picture of her in the cosplay, so.
All right, but...
Tell them about the special phone-in.
Oh, yeah, because we are all expecting Mark Hamill to be there because he is a natural joker, and I don't mean that as a pun, but... No, he phoned in to the panel, and it was help and help presenting the film to everyone.
Oh, okay. So he wasn't there.
And then that, no, he wasn't there. Although we predicted he would be, but eh, it was still fun. Cool. A quarter till 10, they actually start, you know, showing us the film. We watched it. Lots of people were reacting to things in the film, and I found I had the same reaction to it, to the overall story that we had when reading the comic.
And apparently that was falling asleep.
Oh, man. Okay. I mean, you know, and if I heard a lot of things out of that panel, and especially the animated movie. A lot of mixed opinions.
Oh, Jesse's opinion wasn't mixed when he told it to us the following day.
Yeah.
Basically, the segment that they added to it was, like, weird and odd and kind of out of place. As for the main story, animation was great when it was, you know, working. Joker was the scariest I've ever seen. Voice acting was great. The music number was weird.
How so?
well, it was a musical piece in the middle of the show.
Really?
In the middle of the killing joke. The
comic, which was actually in the comic itself. It was, I dare say, amateurish at best.
Yeah, the weird part was that night because, you know, because of the time that Jesse spent in the panel when he came back late and the rest of us had come back from the line, none of us really wanted to talk about much of anything. So the following evening, we're waiting outside Babylon. He's listening to us talk about what happened inside Hall H. And I just kind of turned and said, "That's right, you were at the premiere of The Killing Joke last night. How was that?" And he just turns his eyes down and said, "I should have gone with you."
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Again, a lot of mixed opinions from everybody when I heard about The Killing Joke. Shown at Comic-Con. So my follow-up question, because this obviously was the panel where said incident happened. My question is, when that happened, like, what happened afterwards? Like, what were members in the crowd? Were the people?
Are we talking about?
Yeah, what incident is this about, man? You make it sound like somebody was stabbed again.
I'm talking about where I believe the writer during the panel for The Killing Joke was asked a question, and it was a stab at him in terms of, like, why did he make Barbara, you know, have sex with Bruce or like.
I'll put it this way. As soon as the film was done, I bailed because I was tired.
Oh.
I did not stay for Q&A.
Gotcha. Okay.
I just bailed.
Gotcha. Okay. For those who don't know, there was an incident where somebody, it was funny, it was somebody dressed up as a Joker too, asked a question regarding, you know, why exactly was the character portrayed like that in the animated movie? And what the response was, I think, from the writer was like,
I think you have to explain like what, because you keep saying like that, and I don't think people understand what the controversy is.
The controversy is that
go ahead.
Barbara Gordon, or Batgirl, for those who don't know, had sex with Batman during that animated movie for The Killing Joke. And people were kind of, you know, up in arms, like, you know, she would never do that. And, you know, why is this in the film? And the argument was to kind of drive more of a what's the word looking for, more of a motivation for Batman for what happens to Barbara later on in the movie.
That doesn't need to happen.
Yeah, but it was
put that in, did not need to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there was a lot of outcry because of that sex scene.
Yeah, if they wanted more of an emotional response, he should have slept with Robin.
But like,
be honest, I think since they had a rated R, the movie was rated R, I think he's tried to take advantage of it. I think he kind of went overboard with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's my opinion.
Yeah,
I don't know about that, though, because the movie ratings don't come in preset. In other words, they don't say we're shooting for R, or we've been given an R so we can do X, Y, and Z. Usually they make the film, then the Motion Picture Association decides what the rating is afterwards. Then they have to decide whether or not to accept it or to cut things out of the film to lessen that rating.
So yeah, they the fan asked the question, you know, why was that, and the writer responded, you know, to drive motivation for Batman. Although, you know, don't take it from my word for it, that's kind of what I've heard. And then right after he answered the question, the fan then responded to him like, you're basically making Barbara having sex with Bruce. What's the word looking for? Like, he was basically saying, like, you know, what you did and what you have them do in the movie, like, was totally out of context and, like, you know, something that, you know, should not have been in the movie. Putting it nicely. And then, like, the writer responds back. And as the fan's walking away, he's like, why don't you say it to me again, pussy? I was like, what? And everybody's like, what the fuck just happened? And this was...
Wow.
I know. This blew up. Like, everybody in the room just, like, was stunned. And this... Because when I heard about it, like, it caused so much of an uproar over the internet. It was crazy. But, yeah.
Hey,
like,
Jesse, good job ducking out.
Yeah, because if you were there, man, you would have been like, oh, man, I would love to.
I would have had a lot more to say. There's a Brian Azzarello. I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yeah, so it was crazy. So that's what happened, and I'm more than likely probably banned from doing any more panels for the future, if not.
Wow.
Fired. Yeah, I know, it's crazy. But yeah, you dodge a bullet. So yeah, you managed to miss that.
No, I missed out witnessing a catastrophe. Train wreck, crash cars in a NASCAR, whatever. I missed that.
Yeah.
That would have been exciting.
Okay, so aside from that, though, I think one of the biggest things that Comic-Con has to offer is not only you get to see, you know, awesome panels, events all around Comic-Con, but of course the merchandise, the all the stuff you can buy at Comic-Con.
Exclusives. And...
Exactly. So,
you mean there's other things besides Hasbro?
Exactly.
Speak for yourself. I went way beyond Hasbro.
Oh God, where'd you go to? Was Hasbro the first stop?
No, actually, I went by the Kotobukiya booth. I saw some exclusives, but I had some business, so I passed by it. Went by the Udon booth and saw a couple of the exclusives they had, and contemplated heavily. Did not do. Went to Factory Entertainment, bought some Furry Death.
which we then contemplated using at a later time to escape.
Yeah.
I think the listeners need a context of what Furry Death is.
They had a special set of three of plushes based on the baby direwolves picked up in the very first episode of Game of Thrones. And because I spent a little bit extra, I got a fourth one, so I got a small ghost to go with it all.
Nice. That's awesome.
And, you have your own litter of death.
Yeah, I let's see. I went by the Hasbro booth, and I did pick up a set of Magic cards, the G.I. Joe Transformers crossover set, and a set of the My Little Pony and a set of the Yo-Kai Watch, all exclusives. I went by a couple other places. It's hard for me to remember the exact exclusives because I was all over the map, man. I bought a little bit of everything. I bought four volumes of Ms. Marvel graphic novels. I bought an AVX graphic novel. I bought a literal graphic novel that's like 36 issues of the New Avengers all in one book.
Dude, that thing's like 10 pounds.
You bought a brick.
It's heavy. It is damn heavy. And let's see, I got two sketches for my sketchbook that weekend, and I...
still really jealous about that one.
That thing is huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, some other odds and ends in between, so it's hard for me to really quantify. I put up a picture in the Instagram of most of the haul, minus like a couple... T-shirts and the direwolf plushies.
Mm. pulling those collector glasses.
Oh, well, those aren't for me, though.
Yeah.
Those aren't for me, so that's not part of my particular stuff.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. But, yeah, I got stuff from all over the hall. I'm pretty proud of myself.
Nice, nice. Cool. What about...
I end up getting a few things. I also got the My Little Pony exclusive from Hasbro as well.
Oh, who would have thought you'd do that?
Yeah, it's shocking.
Oh, no. Okay. But the first thing I got on my list outside the four graphic novels of Miss Marvel, I got this 8-piece of Steven Universe minifigures.
Cool. Awesome. How much did he
get? And I bought a Transform from Entertainment Earth.
Oh, awesome. Awesome. Again, I have to ask, how much did they go for?
Which one?
The Steven Universe.
Oh, $30, which is a steal because you can't get the minifigures in retail stores, but they're like $5 a pack in a blind bag.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah, exclusives are kind of rough if they're not in a ticketed booth. Ticketed booths are generally easier for me to deal with simply because if you got the patience and the time, getting a ticket is not too damn difficult. It's the booths where they just say line up and when we have enough people, we'll cap the line and you'll have to come back later. Those are the ones that frustrate me.
Yeah. Gotcha.
Because unless you're the first one in the hall, odds are that you're going to have a rough time trying to get anything out of those particular booths until half their exclusives are gone.
Oh, okay. Cool. Awesome. Awesome.
But I did get one other thing that did require a ticket line. I got autographs from the core cast of Steven Universe.
Sick.
Yeah. It's kind of funny how this stuff works out because one day we were wandering around the hall. There was a group of four of us. We were standing outside the Resident Evil 7 VR demo.
Oh, yeah.
Huh. They built this thing. They built this thing that looked like a dilapidated, like, Old West motel, basically. Just kind of sitting off in one side of the hall. And we read all the signs. It said they're ticketed and their tickets are out. So we just kind of stood there while we were gathering our thoughts. And one guy comes out of doors. He's leading somebody out. He looks at us. We look at him. And I made eye contact with him. And he starts walking over. I'm like, damn it. We just found a good place to stand for a couple minutes. And before I can open my mouth to say, we'll be out of your way, he just looks at us and says, are you guys waiting for the VR demo? We got some free spots. And we just kind of look at each other and say, no. Yeah.
No.
No, we were actually talking about something else we were planning to do, and we were just looking amongst ourselves, and I'm like, Karen, do you want to do it? She says, I don't have the time. Jay, do you want to do it? Not my thing. Jesse, do you want to do it? Fuck you. Whoa, hey.
I see it done enough times by other YouTubers, so.
Oh, man. It's yeah. You know, I would be in the same position if I was asked. I would say no. Only because, no. Like, that – okay, first of all, I don't horror. I do not take well into. And second, like VR horror. On top of that, I would like shit myself. So
well, there was a few bumping demos going on during the weekend. Was it Capcom brought back their Street Fighter V wall for the weekend? But they also they also had their exclusive store. Microsoft was doing a demo of Gears of War 4 on the floor.
Oh, cool! Didn't know it was there. Awesome.
Yeah. Blizzard, I don't think, had an active demo. PlayStation had a few machines set up, but I didn't. I tried to stay away from those, not because I wasn't interested, but just because the lines for those can be a little bit surly if you get too close.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, they were demoing Final Fantasy 15, I Am Setsuna. There was a couple others.
But
those were the two that I were interested in.
Let me just say, people get understandably touchy when they think you're about to cut in one of these lines. But I mean, if you even approach it with a little bit of curiosity, everyone stares at you like you're trying to steal their ramen, like their hands. So
I got so lucky because I'm just sitting there watching one guy play I Am Setsuna, and he's like, okay. And he gets through like the first boss battle, and then he's just like, I'm done. And he just looks at me, you want to go? I'm like, okay.
Wow. That's awesome. Just out of curiosity, because I heard that the Nintendo booth there was pretty, it had stuff, but it was like last year stuff, nothing really to show new this year.
Yeah, there was no real exclusivity, or there was nothing coming out that was at their booth. Just about everything they had was stuff that's been out for at least a couple months. They completely removed Splatoon this year because obviously it's not the new thing, although I think they would have done better if they left it in the booth.
Yeah, it would be a lot of fun.
The video game section was not the big thing for me. I was more interested in the entertainment and the comic book stuff. Mm. And, Steve is still willing to kill me over this one drawing I picked up from Ben Dunn, who did, like, Ninja High School way back in the day for Antarctic Press.
Nice, awesome.
Because I have this oversized sketchbook. You know, I've gotten to know so many comic book celebrities that I've decided to start collecting sketches. And the very first day I walk by his booth and, you know, he's there. I meet him and I look, stare at his sign. And he says, sketches any character $40. $40.
Hmm.
Which, even for a head sketch, that's cheap.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm just like, dude, if I bring back a sketchbook and pay you now, can I get something? And he just said, sure. And, you know, as I'm writing my name down his list, he says, what character do you want? So I named one of the characters from Ninja High School. I didn't want anything complicated or to keep the man guessing.
Mm-hmm.
So the following day, I drop off the sketchbook. The day afterwards, I come back and I'm just like, is it done? And he says, yeah. He hands me the sketchbook. I open it up. He and I have very different terms as to what sketch means.
Oh, are you serious?
This was like a full inked drawing.
Oh,
yeah.
Is there a picture?
I posted on the Instagram of Ben Dunn holding up the book of his character Azrael from Ninja High School in it, and it was the character from, like, just above the knees all the way up to the top of her head, striking a pose, holding a weapon, very complicated outfit. I just remember opening it up, and I just kind of slapped it shut, not because I was insulted, but I'm just like, this is not quite what I asked for.
This. Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen what a lot of the other artists over there are sitting there charging $150, and you don't get that.
Wow. That is
that was impressive.
I handed him back the book open and just said, do you mind if I take a picture? He just says, why? Because I have a feeling no one would believe this.
Holographic proof.
I will put the image in the show notes below for those who are listening. Holy crap. That is incredible. That is really awesome. Wow.
I went by his booth as well, but I wasn't as daring. I didn't have a sketchbook, and I just picked up his two. I could have. If they were only $15 or something.
Yeah.
Like that. But, I ended up picking up his graphic novels he had there for sale for Ninja High School, and he also signed and sketched in the covers. But those were actual sketches, not. But I'm quite happy with my purchase. So.
That's awesome. That's awesome. So one of the things I think that San Diego Comic-Con also brings is that there are celebrities that go and check out the Comic-Con events and party whatnot. And one of the things they usually do is they dress up in cosplay and, you know, go around the con as one of us, quote unquote. So out of curiosity, during your time there, like, did you ran across any celebrities you might have noticed or is like, oh, hey, you're, you know, such and such.
Not this particular year.
Yeah.
You know, I usually run into at least one person who later on I find out is a celebrity, but because of the straightforward nature I had this year and because, you know, I spent all of Saturday in one room with 6,500 other nerds, I didn't have as much socializing time as I generally do.
Yeah. I think the closest I got was I believe it was Ben Dunn's wife was at his table, and she was saying that she ran into Will Smith as he was on his way down to go to the Hall H panel. But
I saw the cast of Suicide Squad there too, but I was like, I don't know, you know, football field away from them.
Well, he's talking about the celebrities that are incognito, the ones who are running around in costume. Like Adam Savage was there this year as Kylo Ren.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't go out and look for that kind of stuff. They want to have fun; they can have their fun. I'm not gonna try. I'm not gonna ruin their day.
Yeah, I think for me, it's just more of a. It's like more of like appreciation and like more like the head nod of like, "Yo, you're awesome. Go about your day." I know that, you know. Again, as I said earlier, Tara Strong was as Harley cosplaying that day. And I want to say there were some other ones that were incognito. I remember last year it was who was it? It was the guy who made Game of Thrones, like in an outfit with a mask on.
Who, George R. R. Martin?
Yeah, apparently he was there.
No, he doesn't hide. If he's there, he's signing books and he's telling people, "I'm writing. Shut up." You know, he actually skipped Comic-Con this year because he said he's writing. Shut up.
Yeah. And it was really funny because apparently there's some guy that looks like immensely like him and actually showed up for a cosplay gathering or something like that. And people were like, look, see, he was here. And it, finally somebody had to be like, I know the guy. He's been posting all of his posts, you know, for this entire weekend back from his house. He's
in Santa Fe.
That's great. Should have run along with it.
I even had to relay that to somebody who was part of my Hall H team. I saw George R. R. Martin. No, you didn't. How do you know? He's been tweeting from Santa Fe for the last 3 days solid.
Good stuff. Speaking of cosplays, what cosplays this year? Which ones, you know, stood out to you, or which ones you managed to find during your time there?
The most impressive one I can recall is the Ronald McDonald Thor.
Wow.
As the most impressive one.
You know, I saw it in parts, but somebody put together like an 8-foot Star Wars Rancor beast.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I saw that video.
I saw it coming down the escalator, and as I'm staring at it, I'm just like, I could follow this, and this would be really cool, but I really feel like a hamburger right now.
Yeah, I saw some video and pictures of that. That is crazy awesome good.
Yeah, I mean,
it's really weird to watch it coming down the escalator because one person was wearing the head and body. Another guy was following down with his arms stuck in the arms of this thing, and he's holding it high up so it doesn't get damaged or disturbed. Then there's another person behind him doing the exact same thing with a Rancor's leg. So it looks like you've either got this dismembered thing or it's doing the ultimate yoga pose right here.
Wow, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah. Cosplay at Comic-Con is not as prevalent as other cons.
Oh, it's damn light.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, most of them come out on Saturday. I ended up seeing a really good Optimus Prime and Megatron cosplay and whatnot. But, yeah, it's kind of like you're walking through a crowd of people and you're like, oh, hey, isn't that? And then you just keep walking. And then you walk a little bit more and there's somebody else going, oh, okay, all right. Yeah. But it's not like most anime conventions or other comic book conventions that I've been to where it's just like 50 people all gathered together and they're all in costume and you're just like, oh, who are you? No, I'm not in costume. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Although I did, outside of the Ronald McDonald Thor, I did come across a few interesting ones, like Big Trouble in Little China full family cosplay.
Yes, I did see them.
Oh, that's really
cool. I saw someone cosplaying as the receptionist, the cheetah from Zootopia.
Oh, awesome. Oh, okay. No way. Cool.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I saw plenty of Harley Quinns. That was like the entire cosplay convention, wow. Pretty much.
Harley Quinns and Deadpools are standard fare for comic conventions.
I saw more Harley Quinns than Deadpools.
I'm not.
That, you know, yeah.
I'm not surprised, actually, because of Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
So. Not surprised.
That and people have had enough Deadpool. I think we discovered that.
is Deadpool just like, are we tired of him now? Like, is he?
Well, unfortunately, a lot of people go to conventions in Deadpool costumes and assume that acting like Deadpool would be okay. But I think over time it has worn on people's nerves. They're tired of photobombs. They're tired of people acting weird just because they have this temporary excuse in the form of the costume. Mm-hmm. I can't remember who it was, but somebody in the show told me somebody jumped into a bus in Deadpool costume, had somebody filming him, and he tried his best to get the crowd to chant, Deadpool, Deadpool, and they just kind of stared at him in utter silence to the point where he just walked dejected off the bus.
Wow.
I think that was Brandon that was saying that.
Yeah. So he had to eat some poop for his decisions.
Yeah.
Damn. Well, rip Deadpool. Until Deadpool 2. So.
Yeah. There will be a resurgence.
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it.
Just like herpes.
I would ask, like, so during your time there, like, anything weird happened, like, you know, during your experience there, or like anything, like, just like you kind of look at it, it's like, oh,
yeah, Steve randomly got pregnant during the weekend.
Oh, really? Oh, congratulations.
Did we tell them about the Pokemon Go incident?
The fire marshal, I think that was the best one.
Yeah.
what happened?
Go ahead, tell him.
All right, so last day of the con, we decided we are done, we are leaving, so we get on the bus, and the staff there, who's manning the transportation, is really nice. They tend to give us way too much more information than we want. So when we got on the bus, and the bus has been delayed, what, like 5 or 10 minutes? Whomever driver says, oh, there's a bit of a delay because Pokemon Go players are out there because Niantic released a legendary Pokemon. That's what they told us at first.
Oh, shit. Wow.
Yeah, that turned out to be utter bullcrap. It was just a rumor perpetrated by somebody. But, you know, meatheads being what they are, they were trying to stuff themselves into the hall above Hall H in hopes of picking up this rare non-existent item.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, it's so to the point where the fire marshal had to clear the upstairs area because there were too many people. And then those people being dispersed were then walking in front of all the buses, so the buses were delayed.
Wow. Wait, yeah, I was going to ask, was this like before the update where they took away tracking or after?
It was before, but I mean, yeah. It was one of those cases where I just remember staring at it as she's talking about all this stuff. And I'm thinking, I've been on this bus for like 5 minutes. Do you honestly think I'm that insulted by waiting for a few more?
Especially since it's air conditioned.
Yeah, they were so concerned with what we thought as if we're going to riot on the last day of the convention, just waiting to leave. And I remember just looking around going, we're just waiting to go. You can take your time doing what the hell ever you want.
She doesn't know who are impatient assholes.
He's getting impatient with people telling me to wait. It's like, it just got here. I don't care.
Yeah. Okay. That's interesting, weird, and cool at the same time.
I will say this year, I didn't notice as many, like, normally they would set up, like, an Assassin's Creed obstacle course, but of course they're taking a break this year from any Assassin's Creed releases other than the movie. So there wasn't a lot of, like, off site really big events that I noticed, other than like Nerd HQ, and I mean they didn't even have an Xbox launch this year.
Oh wow.
So interesting. I think it was a little more focused convention wise. I mean they did have the Abigail there and some of the other stuff, but nothing.
Yeah, Nickelodeon had a whole Double Dare set up somewhere around there.
Yeah, I didn't even see that though, so
I
saw Mark Summers.
Yeah, I saw...
That is old!
Yeah, I saw him too when he was doing his thing at Comic-Con. Yeah, that man has grown quite a lot. He's aged.
You make it sound like he was a Smurf when he started.
I remember when he was about knee-high to... No, okay.
Knee-high to a dog's knee!
That's awesome, though. Cool. What I will say, though, is like, out of all the things that came out at a Comic-Con that from somebody from the outside, my favorite thing that came out or was leaked was the whole bit between it was the Adult Swim panel, or no, it was the Rick and Morty panel, and it was the clip where it was the automatic of Rick and Morty like reenacting. A court case that was like in Georgia, and it was like the most hilarious thing I've ever seen. So,
huh.
I
don't have any context in that, because the biggest panels I saw were obviously the Hall H stuff, and they were doing their best to just dazzle everybody in there. But I thought some of the best stories was actually the Women Who Kick Ass panel. It was like Ming-Na Wen and Melissa Benoist and, frickin' Lucy Lawless.
Yeah. Oh,
everybody was sitting there. Ming-Na Wen was telling stories about how everyone thought that she was like every other Asian actress ever except for herself. You know, and then somebody asked, you know, what did you want to be when you grew up? And Ming-Na Wen just leans into the mic and says, I just wanted to be Lucy Lawless. I mean, jeez.
Damn. That's crazy. That's cool, though, too.
She kind of is with her role in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I don't know what her story. I guess she just doesn't see it that way in general.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But she was, it was a fun panel. It was great listening to them talk to each other, because it's so rarely do they just seem to let their hair down and let loose with whatever they're thinking about, really.
Cool. So my last question to all of you, overall, pros, cons of this year's San Diego Comic-Con. I want to start with Steve first.
Pros? Let's see. Definitely just, you know, if you're there for the industry, if you're there for panels, want the inside scoop on a lot of stuff, you know, there's Hall H for you and everything, you know, it's very well handled. They did a badge system this year, so you didn't even have to stand in line, really, to... They had just like the check-in, which was even stupid simpler than, you know, previous years. The badges themselves seemed to work pretty well. It made a little bit of congestion right when you're getting in, but other than that, it really wasn't any big deal. So I honestly hope they continue with that.
I had one nitpick about that, but again, it's a nitpick because I'm taller than the rest of you guys, and I kind of hunch over to make sure I hit that sensor.
What? You had to bend over and adjust your gut or something? Come on, man.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Dude, that's a nitpick.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, that is a nitpick. But, yeah, no, I do hope that they continue with that, though, because it was nice, at least for us, you know, nothing got lost in the mail or anything. I could see it going wrong a little bit. But otherwise, you know, it was really easy to get the badges and walk around and everything.
I thought it was a success.
Yeah. Cons, pretty much the standard fare, you know. I didn't really like how they did the hotel system this year. So, yeah, we did get much further away than what we have been lucky enough to get in the past. But the shuttle system is pretty well run. I did see a couple instances where... you know, the buses are supposed to run every 15 minutes and, you know, they didn't show up until like maybe 45 minutes. But again, traffic, people, you know, what can you do? But yeah, just expect crowds and don't expect to be able to do everything that you want to be able to do, because out of any convention that I've ever been to, Comic-Con can easily be called Line-Con. That's, you know, if you want to get into something popular, be prepared to stand in line. Gotcha. But other than that, you know, I really didn't have too many issues. I've been there before, so I kind of knew what to expect. And if you want to go to a quiet, more intimate convention, you know, don't bother going to this one, because that's not what you're going to find. But if you want to go and, you know, have a good time, they do have the gas lamp right, you know, right nearby the convention center and everything, you know, with the shuttle system running 24/7, you got really no issues as far as that goes. So it is a little bit more of a party convention. But yeah, so that was kind of my experience.
Awesome. Jesse, pros, cons of San Diego Comic-Con.
Pros. People. There's just tons of people. You're in a fan, you're going to find someone there that shares it. Cons. People. Sometimes you're an asshole.
Yeah. I see.
Some of them need to bathe.
Yeah. Especially in all that humidity.
I did.
Yeah, I was bathing walking outside.
Overall, it's the best part of the con is also probably the worst part, because people are excited for whatever thing they happen to be part of. I mean, I met tons of people playing Pokemon there. We all did.
Except for me. Because my phone's old.
But then you got people who are just like kind of pushing through this to get out of the way when, you know, you're probably trying to do the same thing. Or again, you get the occasional person that fails to keep up their hygiene.
Yeah.
And ran to one of those.
I see.
Although I have a nitpick now, because, you know, and it's nothing to do with the convention. Nothing to do with the convention. But if you're playing Pokemon Go, don't stand in the middle of the damn aisle. I don't know how many people I had to try and force my way through, force my way past and everything else, because they're all sitting there playing Pokemon Go on their phone, and they were, it's just this, you know, right in the middle, interrupting the flow. I had such a hard time.
A nitpick. No, that isn't a nitpick, see. That's a legitimate hazard and annoyance.
I don't know. It was just annoying for me, but, you know, and it's not directed at the convention. It's more directed at people.
Gotcha. Yep. Pokemon Go is still making people do dumb things.
Oh, like they didn't do it before Pokemon Go ever came around.
Yeah, it was just something else.
It's just now it's multiplied by like twice as much. So last but not least, Jeremy, pros, cons of San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, I think I have a different outlook than a lot of people because the mantra I put on my business card is fear no lines, not because I think people shouldn't be worried about them, but if you're going to spend time, you know, fussing about the length of lines, you're never going to see anything. And in the case of Comic-Con, it is a necessity to stand and wait for copious amounts of time, but the payoff for that waiting is often tremendous. And this year was the first year I actually tried actively to get into Hall H, and it's like most other things at Comic-Con. You think it's easily dismissed until you actually try it, and then you find out what the hype is about, and it's well-earned. I would say the con is just a strength of presentation because everybody's bringing their A-game. Nobody is slouching. Everybody wants you to see the best of what they got and hopefully talk about it for weeks, months, however long it takes for whatever project to come out. If there was a con, I wouldn't say it actually has to do with the convention. I would say it was just the weather this particular year. The humidity was brutal, and I think it cut a lot of cosplay short just because people are smart enough not to wear a lot of vinyl when the forecast is 60% humidity.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw Black Widow walking around in full-on leather, and I was just like, she's got to be, like, having a sauna. She's walking around because I was surprised that she wasn't leaving like wet foot marks on the pavement.
Yeah, she's not having any problems because what you don't know is she's already dead.
But I do applaud the effort. 60% humidity, Dan.
Yeah, it was 60% humidity for 3 out of 4 days. You know, it finally broke late Saturday, and all of a sudden there was this weird cool breeze where everyone just kind of said, what is this sensation? Oh, right, there's a chill.
Yeah.
And I forgot what that felt like.
It was really funny, too, because we were out on Harbor Island. I actually got to see it had this momentary fog right in the first part of the day. It just kind of rolled in. And then as soon as it went away, then huge wind picked up, which was nice, although a little bit inconvenient for trying to carry anything. Blew my hat off my head like twice. And then after that was done, then mostly humidity was gone. So, you know, at that point, it was pretty bearable on Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. Awesome. Well, I'd like to thank everyone here to talk about everything about San Diego Comic-Con this year. Before we go, Jeremy, where can they find you on the internet?
They can find me under cosplaydeviants.com. I have a recent pictorial that's gone up. No. I'm on cosplay.com under the screen name of Freight. I do a weekly podcast with these two jokers called The Rolling Twenties, all about comic books, storylines, and related news. I'm on Facebook, but I don't give out my personal one too often. We are on Tumblr under The Rolling Twenties Show. We are on Twitter under The Rolling Twenties. My next scheduled stop, I'm 50-50 on whether or not I'm going to Long Beach Comic Con. I think it's September 17th and 18th. I'm definitely going to Kamikaze October 28th through 30th. Then I have Great American Comic Con where we're hosting panels December 3rd and 4th. Then we're going to... shut up. He sends me a text in the middle of the Warner Brothers panel that just says Howard Chaykin wants another shot at you. And I'm like, oh, God.
Round two.
After that, I'm going to Anime Los Angeles at the end of January. Then I'm going to WonderCon at the end of March. Then I'm I might go to Fanime. I'm undecided. Then I definitely have to go to Anime Expo because a British man made me promise. Then I have to go to San Diego Comic-Con next year. So if you want to know where I am, find out where the comic books are, goddammit.
Follow this man, and you will find many, many things.
Some you don't want to know.
hey, only my barber knows about that hair. Shut up.
Jesse, where can they find you on the internet?
besides with Jeremy on the Rolling 20s, I don't share my social media info.
I like how he makes this sound like a threat.
I'm a bit of an anti-social person, but otherwise I am planning on attending a Kamikaze, with Jeremy, as well as Great American Comic Con and ALA. At that point, we kind of part ways, as I probably go to another Broden convention in April.
It's like how we find a cart ways. I put on a pair of hooves and I just start kicking your ass. So,
kick to the curb.
And that, last but not least, Steve, where can I find you on the internet?
They can't. I hide.
Oh, okay.
No, yeah, I do the Rolling
20s. No, he's serious. He hides.
Yeah, no. And then everything else is private. So, yeah, they probably won't see too much of me on the internet. Convention-wise, yeah, same as above. Kamikaze and Great America Comic Con, ALA. I won't be doing the Brony Convention, but
so
we'll see
says.
About WonderCon this year. I skipped last year. Yeah. Fanime again, we'll see. And then, of course, go to the San Diego Comic-Con again next year, hopefully. Maybe I'll get another full weekend. We'll see.
Awesome. You can follow me personally on Twitter at TheEffectiveNaruto, and you can follow the work that we all do at MissionStartPodcast.com. If you're listening to this podcast, please check out the website. Also, check out the please check out our other podcasts we do on our site, including Mission Star Podcast and the Conover, the Rolling 20s, I should say, on iTunes and Stitcher.
Yeah, not like we do anything, jeez.
I am totally losing it at the end here. other than that, check us out on Patreon as well, patreon.com/missionstarpodcast. Check out all the good stuff you can get, multiple tier rewards, and all the good stuff that you can provide for MSP and other cool stuff. So, that being said, thank you guys again, and we will see you guys next time.